my text is coming out of 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. Okay, you know, you look at this thing here, these lessons here that we study, what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the Olympics, the games in Greece and in Corinthians, okay? And he uses all these, is symbolically speaking, metaphors, whatever you want to call them, okay? But he's trying to show us something. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit something here, but let's read our text for right now. And I'm going to probably go back to, let's start in verse 24. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in the race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Okay, everyone who competes in the games exercise self-control, and in all things they then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim, I box in such a way as not beating the wind or the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself may be disqualified. There's rules of engagement in the games, okay? And I wrote on here, said, we live in a very competitive world, okay? People are always competing in one form or another. You're in competition in every facet of life, okay? You got soccer, you got baseball, you got football, you know, you got all these entities that everybody's competing. Corporate businesses, somebody's always wanting to climb the corporate ladder, that's all fine. But we also are competing in a game. Okay, we are competing in a game. But there's rules and regulations by which you have to play the game. And you got to play it right. And I wrote it here. Competing right carries a great reward. Okay, the reward of satisfaction, the word of integrity, the word of honor, the reward of honor, and on. Okay? One who cheats to win will never experience true victory. Your conscience will always be a witness against you. It'll always be against you. You can cheat all you want, and some people have to cheat in order to win. That's no victory, brother. But you know, we're all running in a race, but the difference being, in the Olympic Games, one wins the prize, right? You got the gold, the silver, and the bronze, right? But this is the amazing thing here. We are all running in a race. And I don't care if you come second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, back, no matter. You finish that race, you're gold. You're a gold medalist.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? I'm not competing with Marilyn. Marilyn's not competing with me, or I with her, Sharon. Those two girls' names always have been. Nor with my brother here. To put it in human reasoning, just thinking humanly, he's at a higher level than I am. But if he runs his race and I run mine, even though I don't know Greek or Hebrew and all that, but I finish my course with the talents and the abilities that God has called me in for, to do what he said I can do, if I finish my race in that way, mm-hmm. I win the goal.
That's
right. So we're in competition, not with each other. We're in a game to win. And who gets the ultimate glory? God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
God likes a good competitor. He loves a good soldier. He loves a good athlete. And all the things that come with that kind of a concentration, focusing, okay? I'm going to read you something here. The rules of the game, qualifications for entry into the Greek game, certain defined conditions were attached to taking part in the contest, okay, gaining the victory. No slaves, but only free men were admitted. No foreigners, but only citizens. No impetuous men or criminals, but only those without reproach, freedoms, citizens, and civil honor were indispensable. Okay, and naturally, bodily strength and practice, all these were required. So not just anybody can get into the games. These people, you're describing a people with honor, integrity, and things of that nature. Okay, and it goes on. For their rank in the game, one or more empires were chosen. Who's going to be our empire at the end of the game? When we win that crown, who's going to be the empire, the judge, to reward us? It's going to be God himself. He's our empire. And we're going to receive a crown, which is Stephanos. Stephanos meaning a crown earned by right. Okay? Because God said, you're not laboring for me for nothing. You will get rewarded. Revelation 19, it says, and they made yourself ready. They made themselves ready for that. But we know that the Holy Spirit is the one that does all the work, gives us the ability and the strength and the courage and the comforts and everything to accomplish our task. Gives us all the equipment. You go to Ephesians chapter, 10, 6 verse 10 on down, and talks about all the things, the armors and all the equipment you need in order to fight a good fight. But we know we're fighting against darkness and principalities of darkness. Okay? But in the same process, we become pet spectacles in this world. We're the drag of the world. But to the world, we might not be much. But let me tell you something. In God's eyes, we are everything. The so-called bottom of the barrel people, they're number one with God. They're number one. So there's no little guys or big guys in God's work. They're all equal. They're all working toward the same way. Okay? In directing the game, one or more empires were chosen. Before the context, each individual underwent an often long and special training, which sometimes lasted 10 months. Okay, 10 months. To this training, there belonged also a general outward sobriety of life. Right now, brothers, I'm going to read this because it was the end of my notes, but the world is our Colosseum. The world is our amphitheater. To the world, that's our Colosseum, brother. We're in the Gladiator Colosseum in the theaters. Okay? According to 1 Corinthians 4, 9 through 13. Let me just read that real quick. If I don't read anything else. 1 Corinthians 4, 19. This is a letter to the Church of Corinth, because the Church of Corinth felt that they already fought their fight, they were okay, they won the prize, they're kings and all this. I said, well, that's great, people. I'm still in the game. You know, I'm still getting beat up and laughed at, spit at, and stoned to death. But if you already run your crown, no. Paul was being nice there. What did I say? 1 Corinthians 4:9. 1 Corinthians 4:9. Okay, here we go. Verse 8. You are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we also might reign with you. Okay, Paul was running his race when it came to Corinthians. He was their father. But man, that's amazing. You guys ever ran your race, really? I'm still in the race, man. I said, what did you do different than I'm doing? He said, I thank God has exhibited his apostles. Last of all, when I was reading about that last of all, they had the games. But towards the end of the games, they would have man and beast fight. And those that fought at the end, they would die. Because that was less for the last. And the people loved the animal and man when they fight. It was brutal. Mm-hmm. They got chewed out, spit out, and I mean, they fought. They give them a little something they can defend themselves, but what are you going to do that against a bear or an elephant or a tiger or whatever? You know, maybe Jim can take one on, maybe not now, but...
It's over.
It's over. Now I just run. Okay. He says, last of all, as men condemned to death. Okay, but that's what it was. The last one were actual criminals that were used for spectatorship, you know, at the end of the games. Because they were condemned to die anyhow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what he said. We were the last condemned, like condemned men. You know, so Paul's using all these things that they understood. Military, athletes, they understood that, especially in Corinth, because they had the Colosseum there. The Ishmaeas, they call it the games, which means it's a little strip of island, you know. Anyhow, it goes on to say, it says, condemned to death because we have become a spectacle, okay, to the world, both to angels and to men. The word spectacle means a theater. They were set up for display, but in a world sense. Not just in the theater where they can see the game, the play, the acting and all that. The world is our theater and the world is our Colosseum. And we're the spectacle of the world. And I want to read you something and I hope I can get to it. We are fools for Christ's sake. That's how a lot of people think about it, right? We're a bunch of nuts. You know, why do you guys do what you guys do? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, man, that's overkill, man. They don't get it. You are prudent in Christ. We are weak. But you are strong. You are distinguished. But we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and are poorly clothed and are roughly treated and are homeless. Who says somebody, don't ever become a preacher because you'll become a pauper? But they don't understand it. I was reading something that Jim said, you know, you preach if you get paid or you don't get paid. Preferably you get paid because that's what you're supposed to get paid for. But you preach because Paul said that. Paul said, you know what? I had to rob other churches, man, because you won't pay, but I'll preach it free if I have to. But it's to your dishonor and you will never receive a good reward for nothing. Okay, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to support whoever is teaching you, because you owe him that. Okay, and we toil working with our own hands. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Sometimes, you know, circumstances do require that. Maybe the church is just too small and they're doing the best they can, you know. Of course, you know, you understand those. But when the church, when they're doing okay and they don't want to help, and they look at every nickel and dime that's going towards that pastor, I say, you know what, motion a second, get rid of them, cut them out. They can't even suck up the good air with that kind of an attitude. He says, when we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to reconciliate. We have become as the scum of the world and the drag of all things, even until now. I'd rather be a scum of the earth, a drag, that you go along with the world just for convenience reasons. No good. Absolutely no good. Okay. I just want to read to you some other scriptures here. Hebrews 12. I'll try to keep it short, brother. Hebrews 12. It says in verse 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, anybody know what that word witness means?
Martyr.
Martyr. You know Greek, brother?
I just looked at it once.
It just came to me, huh? Martyr. Because when you go into the 11th chapter, it's going to talk about that very thing. These are the cloud of witnesses that supposedly he's talking about. And how they wouldn't even ask for their relief. And the cruelty those people went through, they became the drag and the scum of the world as far as they were concerned. These are Old Testament martyrs that died back in the day. Put them in there for us to see how these people, their attitude, their character, how they were willing. People say, why would anybody want to die for somebody they never seen? Why? It's this thing called faith, according to the 11th 11 chapter, verse 1? By faith, by not seeing things and all that good stuff. It's amazing how God works with our spirits and our souls to make us want to do what we do. But all by decision and by choice. Okay? He never drags anybody to do his bidding. He convicts man to do his bidding. And you respond accordingly. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sins which so easily entangle us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We can't do that, brother, if we're preoccupied with the world. 1 John 2:15, about being friendship with the world, it's hostility towards God. Okay? You got to keep all that in perspective. You know, we got to live in this world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Not mentally, in our reasoning, in our logic. None of that coincides with the Word of God. Okay? Brother, we're just sojourners. We are people that are aliens. The day you come to know Christ, and especially the day you came to the water of the baptism, you made a tremendous commitment to get in it, but you had to be tried and see if you were fit to become a church member or a follower of Christ. And once you get into the game, there's no turning back. It's just like, hey, you put your hand to the plow and you look back, no good. You're not fit. Not fit. If you love your family, brother, sister, and mother more than me, you're not fit. But you got to keep all that in perspective. God is just trying to get a point across. Prioritize. Don't build your life. Don't build me around your life. Build your life around me. Okay, that's the way it works. Okay. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him. Did Jesus run his race? Did he accomplish it? Did he finish it? Did he receive that crown? I don't know if that crown is called a diadem, because I don't know if I'm correct.
Diadema,
that's a and different
Stephanos,
crown.
And Stephanos, both.
Yeah, they're both the same?
Both crowns.
Okay, they're...
Both crowns.
Okay, they're both... Oh, he got both of them.
Both crowns.
Okay, so the diadem is in reference to the authority and...
The warrior.
Yeah, it's a different crown.
Yes.
The Stephanos is by right. He earned it by right. Okay, so he won both crowns. You people out there, I just learned that today, okay? Okay? So, yeah. So that confirms, when I read about those two crowns, I said, well, so that's something I just learned right now. They said before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Okay? So these are just some good stuff here that we read. And I want to read also, where I got so many scriptures. I was going to look at, you know, you got Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh, right? Okay, according to the idea that we're here on the games, there was many things that can disqualify you. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, those are the deeds of the flesh that will disqualify you as a runner. Okay? But the ones in Ephesians 5, 22 to 23, okay, these are the ones that qualify you if you run the race according to the rules. And when you go to Timothy, 2 Timothy, I believe, that a soldier does not entangle himself with the affairs of everyday life. Okay, and you're talking about the athlete. Okay, he stays focused. He's got a goal. He's got a goal set before him. He doesn't allow anything to interfere in that achieving that goal. But those people are going to receive, well, they received a wreath that was perishable. It was for only a moment in time, brother. We're creating a crown for ourselves that's going to last all the way into all eternity. Mm-hmm. To all eternity. Okay? So people, we're in a game. We're in a fight. Okay? And run your race. Run it well. Whatever it takes, whatever your talent, whatever your ability is that God has given you and the reason why he called you in. Whatever, if you're just a good church member that knows how to comfort people, if you're a teacher, you're a pastor, whatever talent you have, God called everybody because everybody had the talent within themselves. Okay? And so you have a particular calling because of your characteristics and things of that nature. I've seen people that can't even read. Okay? But the most loving church members, you see, they're there, Johnny, on the spot. If a sister or brother is sick, they're there with a bowl of soup or whatever it is. That's what they know best. And love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. So never belittle somebody that doesn't know how to read. Okay? But you see their actions. That speaks volumes, brother. That speaks volumes. And that's my devotion. I have plenty more here. A lot of scriptures that I was going to go to, but I'm going to cut it short here a little bit. And I thank you very much.
Amen. I don't need to preach. You did it.
Yeah.
You did it. It's done.